IBM is working with clients to put smart to work and bring progress to everyone. Together with IBM, experts are putting smart to work to help the environment, improve safety on the road, and make progress. Not just for a few of us, but for all of us. Because while technology has never been smarter, smart only matters when you put it to work. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart/UK.
With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. U.S. financial markets fell in Friday's half session, weighed down by the continuing fall in oil prices. It capped a bad holiday-shortened week for stocks. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrials fell 178 points to 24,285. The Nasdaq lost 33 points. The S&P 500 gave up 17. The Dow's loss for the week was around 4%. The Nasdaq dropped 4.4%, and the S&P 500 fell 3.6%. Akane Otani is markets reporter for The Wall Street Journal, and she joins us in our studio. Akane, we've had the tech rout, worries about a trade war, concerns about slowing global economic growth, and we've now come up with a new culprit for the market struggles. Blame it on oil.
That's right. And I think in a way it's almost a relief to investors who've been sort of questioning for weeks now why the stock market has been struggling so much to regain its footing. Well, at least the slide in oil prices is sort of an obvious thing that's going on in the markets and certainly weighing down sentiment. But it does add to this pressure point that people have been dealing with throughout a lot of the second half of the year, which is this question of how much global growth is slowing down. Because, of course, the slide in oil prices, people have been saying, isn't just about a supply problem, it's also sort of a demand side problem. And the more we see oil prices tumble in this really rapid and volatile fashion, I think the more nervous generally investors get.
Right. West Texas crude is now not much above $50 a barrel, at the lowest level in more than a year. Were the declines in stocks exacerbated by the low holiday volume?
I think that's probably fair to say, although we did end up, I think, closing around the levels or maybe slightly above where futures had been pointing to before the opening bell. But yeah, we only saw 3.4 billion shares change hands today, which marks the lowest volume trading day of the year, including other abbreviated sessions that we've seen so far.
Is the Federal Reserve on people's minds at this point? We have the Fed minutes coming up in the new week, and there's been a lot of disagreement over how aggressive policymakers should be in raising interest rates.
I definitely think that that's another thing that people are worried about, especially because in recent weeks we've heard more discussion about whether the Fed is likely to slow down its pace of interest rate increases or not because of the volatility that we've been seeing in the markets and some of the weaker data points that we've been seeing across the economy. And I think so far a lot of folks in the markets believe that the answer is no, that the Fed is still likely to raise rates as signaled back in its September meeting. And that has, I think, introduced a little bit of nervousness again, because there's a sense that the Fed, which under previous Fed chairs was seen as being more accommodative to the markets when they started tumbling, and more open to the idea of slowing down a little bit. I think a lot of folks think Jerome Powell is the opposite of that. And so that sort of removes a support point that folks might have been counting on earlier in the year.
And China is in the news again. It's never really been out of the news, I suppose. Its main stock market fell Friday. The Wall Street Journal reported the U.S. government had attempted to persuade foreign allies to avoid telecom equipment from China's Huawei due to what they see as cybersecurity risks. And also, the two countries are participating in a G20 summit at the end of the month in Argentina. So China is definitely a factor.
Yeah, and I think, as usual, a lot of things could potentially go wrong. That's what people are always worried about, because I don't think many are expecting a quick resolution to this trade fight that we've been seeing, because it's already been going on for several months at this point. We've already seen tariffs put in place. We've already seen more sort of restrictive policies in general exchanged between the two countries. But I think what people are always worried about is a sudden escalation. You know, some nasty words get exchanged, something that could spook markets that way. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that.
Of course, the other problem that hasn't gone away yet, and that's the decline in tech stocks.
That's right. We saw Apple break below the $1 trillion market cap mark for the first time in a couple of months. And that was really a significant point, I think, because Apple had been sort of one of the last of the FANG stocks to really tumble from its highs. And some of the traders I'd been speaking to earlier in the month had even said, you know, we've seen Facebook go, we've seen Netflix go. Once we see Apple go, that might really start some volatility in the markets. In fact, we did see a little bit of that come to play. So the longer we see these FANG stocks and other sort of high growth tech stocks keep showing weakness, I think the longer we'll see overall volatility in the market. Play out.
Are there any sectors that could take the place of technology that seem strong, that have growth potential at this point? Because tech really seems to have worn out.
I think people have been really hoping for the financials to pick up some of the slack just because rates are rising. We're seeing more volatility in the markets. Both those things should be good for banks, which, you know, their trading divisions certainly benefit when we see more swings across markets. And they typically can collect more on loans as interest rates rise. But it's a very delicate balancing act because if we see rates rise to the point where they start slowing spending, and we are seeing some signs of that in the housing and auto sectors, that does have an impact on banks' lending activity as well. And I think that might be part of the overhang that is keeping the banks from really rallying, because they haven't really started to catch up with the broader market or lead the broader market forward. And in fact, we've seen names like Goldman Sachs tumble to their lowest level of the year several times now.
Keep thinking of concerns and negatives, you know. They come to mind as we're talking, you know. What about these concerns that capital spending is slowing by businesses? That seems to be a real factor at this point.
Yeah, it's all pointing to a slowdown in momentum, right? And I think that's the thing that concerns people. It's not any individual problem in isolation. Like, if we did see a slowdown in capital spending in and of itself, that might not mean anything significant. But because it's coming in combination with all of these other signs of some slowdowns in the housing market, in the auto market, the tumbling that we're seeing in the stock market, the sense that we're going to see buyback activity wane in the coming years, and the sense that a recession is becoming more likely. All those things together, I think, add to the pessimism that investors are really feeling at the moment.
Before I think of anything else, I'll stop. Wall Street Journal Markets reporter Akane Otani, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
IBM is working with clients to put smart to work and bring progress to everyone. Together with IBM, experts are putting smart to work to help the environment, improve safety on the road, and make progress. Not just for a few of us, but for all of us. Because while technology has never been smarter, smart only matters when you put it to work. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart/UK.
The earnings season is pretty much over with. Thanksgiving and Black Friday are out of the way, but the last week in November is busy with economic readings and other market-moving events. Once the holiday shopping weekend is out of the way, we do have Cyber Monday, with online retailers hoping to get a big boost from workers not working, but instead shopping from their computers. Several notable events will happen on Wednesday. The Fed policy minutes from the most recent meeting are due, and they will reveal policymakers' thoughts about the economy and interest rates. The Commerce Department will issue a revised estimate on third quarter gross domestic product. And there's a speech by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Other Fed presidents will be speaking throughout the week. Commerce will also have a closely watched report on Thursday. October figures on personal income and consumer spending. The key part of this report is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index. Also due out in the new week are several housing indicators, the latest Case-Shiller Home Price Index, and October reports on pending home sales and new home sales. And with the trade rhetoric between the U.S. and China at a fever pitch, investors will await the G20 summit, which kicks off Friday, November 30th in Argentina. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.